Dr. Ralph Wilson with Joyful Heart Renewal Ministries. Today I want to give you an exposition of 2 Timothy 2:15 entitled Skilled Workers in God's Word. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we open up this single verse in 2 Timothy, I pray that you would teach us, that your spirit would resonate with our spirit, O Lord, and move us forward in the way you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It is fascinating to watch a skilled craftsperson at work, whether it is an electrician or a finished carpenter. You watch their practiced, patient steps to completion, and when they are finished, they can take justifiable pride in their work. Not a sloppy job thrown together at the last moment, but a job done right. Paul uses the analogy of a skilled worker in this exhortation to his protege, Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 was my dad's life verse. He was an artist, a craftsman. I can remember the fragrance of thin, curved shavings emerging from his plane as he smoothed the board. I watched wood chips fly as he slowly shaped a work of art out of a block of wood with mallet and chisel. Jesus was a careful, skilled carpenter. He constructed houses in the Nazareth area, as well as fashioning doors, frames, yokes, and other wood and leather implements. Jesus took pride in the quality of his work. For me, as a teacher of God's Word, Paul's urging in this verse takes on special meaning. Paul is speaking to Timothy about the quality and care of the younger minister's preaching, his teaching. I've heard thousands of sermons and Bible lessons in my lifetime. Some were hard-hitting, thoughtful, true to the Spirit of Scripture, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and effective. Many others dealt in gross exaggerations, oratorical flourishes to stir the hearers, but that really didn't challenge them to learn to follow Jesus as his faithful disciple. Many preachers put a sermon together at the last moment, so busy they are with all the other aspects of ministry and bivocational work required to earn a living. But teaching the Word of God accurately is so very important that we must not offer what is left of our time. It must come first. By the way, if you're not a preacher or teacher, substitute ministry and the calling God has given you. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:15, phrase by phrase. Paul begins with a Greek word that means do your best, be diligent, study. Be especially conscientious in discharging an obligation, be zealous, eager, take pains, make every effort, be conscientious. Teaching God's word is not a casual task, but one to which we must give ourselves fully and execute with all priority and seriousness. It is a high privilege. We may not understand everything, but we must apply ourselves to do the very best we can. Seek God's approval, not your hearers. We preachers are overly concerned about what people think of us. Paul tells Timothy that it is not their opinion that counts. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him. Whose approval must we seek? God's, approved by him. He is the one to whom we present ourselves for approval. We present our teaching, our preaching to him as our offering to him. Yes, this requires that our sermons be clear, well illustrated, and designed to be understood. The task God has assigned us is to help people understand and act upon his message. Preaching and teaching take skill and focus to communicate and persuade. We have an awesome calling that starts with seeking God's approval. Sometimes preaching God's word requires courage, because the things God wants us to say go against the sinful inclinations of our audience. People don't like their racism exposed. People don't want their greed challenged, and so on. People resist change, even you and me. Expect it. Remember, says Paul, it is God's approval you are seeking, not man's. Now, Paul brings up the concept of shame, a worker who has no need to be ashamed. The picture is of a worker called in by his foreman or the business owner to explain why he made a mistake, was late for work, or didn't do a good job. Bultmann observes that the main point of the Greek word group is not feeling of shame, but disgrace itself. For Christian preachers and teachers, it isn't a feeling of inadequacy before people that is at stake. It is disgrace before God for not doing our best. Now we come to the final phase. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. The worker is fashioning an object with extremely valuable materials. The word of truth. It is not our truth or an alternate truth. It is God's own truth. We can't be casual in interpreting it, or we'll offend God himself. The verb here is orthotomeo, literally to cut straight. Variously translated, correctly handles, rightly handling, rightly explaining, accurately handling, rightly dividing. Perhaps the metaphor is to cut a path or a road straight without turning aside. Perhaps it has to do with sawing a board straight or planing it smooth. Whatever the exact reference, Paul's idea here is clear, to do something correctly. When I was a young man, not yet ordained, I attended a church that held a very strong doctrine which wasn't well supported by Scripture. I loved and respected the pastor and other leaders in this fellowship. I wanted to agree with them. The only problem was a verse in Hebrews that appeared to teach the opposite of this doctrine. I struggled with that verse until I found that I could understand it another way than its obvious meaning. I was delighted. The only problem was that I had twisted Scripture to make it mean something I wanted it to mean. Later, I was ashamed. I am ashamed. It makes me think of the defense lawyer I saw on TV recently who distorted the law with half-truths so he could claim that his client wasn't guilty of the crimes he had clearly committed. I have repented, and I know God forgives me. But since then, I have been careful to be honest with the Word of God, with myself and with others. I must be diligent to seek understanding. If I still don't understand how a verse fits, it's okay to say so. I have a whole list of unanswered questions I am looking forward to asking God when I get to heaven. I must balance boldness with appropriate humility. My dear brother, my dear sister, God calls us to do our best to interpret the word, for it is his truth we are handling. No oratorical exaggerations, no fudging. Clarity, honesty is our directive. My friend, do your best, your very best. Where you have failed, repent, receive his forgiveness, and resolve to do better next time. Thank God for his grace. Lean into your high calling of being an explainer of God's truth to those whom he loves. Make it a priority. Give it your best, like a skilled craftsman. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Help my brother and my sister. Help us do our best to explain your word clearly, honestly, the very best we can. For your sake, for it is your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.